Welcome to the Hump Day Podcast. My name is Pastor Kevin Robertson, and it is December 14th, 2016, which is hard to believe. We are a week and a half away from Christmas, and I love Christmas. So today I'm going to be interviewing Summer Reed, a.k.a. Summer Gonzalez.
Hi, everybody.
And I love Summer. And let me give you some heads up on Summer. Summer and I have known each other since 1989. How did we meet?
We met when I started going to Pacific Christian, and you were the chaplain at...
And I first started in 1989.
Yes.
And I was married to Sandy then. And Summer always talks about how her class was the craziest class because you had Pastor Reuben in your class.
Pastor Reuben.
And I know, you don't know.
Craziest. We were the best class.
I know. And you had Jim Darrell.
Yes.
Yeah, you had a bunch of good people in
there. Great people.
Yes, Reuben, great people. So today we're going to focus on loss today. And Summer has told me a couple of days ago that she has dealt with around 14 people that she's lost to death since 1989.
Since 2005.
Since 2005?
Yes.
Oh, good night, girl.
Yes.
So anyway, no, it's so I thought it would be really good to talk about her story. And so you were part of our youth group, right?
Yes.
Which was at the Herman Church.
Yes.
Now it's known as the Herman Community Church. And we went on Mexicali trips.
Yes.
Which means we did a mission trip during spring break. And I took 25 to 30 of you nutcases to Mexico, which I don't know what I was thinking then. I mean, that was crazy if you think about it, 30 kids.
Yes.
And you were part of it. But one thing I've noticed, you and Victor were like best buddies.
Yes.
Because I remember talking to Becky Knight, who was in charge with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought you guys were starting to date.
Nope.
But that wasn't the case. You guys were just best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because I remember how you did your ministries together. How many trips did you go on to Mexicali? Did you just do three trips?
Three trips.
So that was 3 years in a row.
Yes.
And so you graduated from high school when?
I graduated from high school in
1993. Okay. And then you were one of the leaders in the church.
Yes.
And then something happened unexpectedly at the beginning. What happened?
I graduated from high school in June of 93, and I got pregnant.
Okay.
In February of 94.
Okay. And so was that hard to, not hard to accept, but was that, did you go through like, oh my goodness, I mean, was it hard telling your parents and you're going, oh, by the way?
Yes. It was really hard.
Everything's yes.
Yeah, it was hard telling them. My mom, I didn't have to tell her. She had a sixth sense. And interesting enough that you bring up Mexicali.
Yeah.
I went to that Mexicali trip after I graduated. I already knew that I was pregnant.
You were
going
pregnant
on that trip.
Oh, really?
Victor was one of the only people that knew at the time when we went on that trip together.
Was Victor supportive?
Yes.
Okay.
He actually wanted to be with me when I told my parents.
Oh, really?
And I said, you don't want to do that. They'll think you're the father. So he wasn't. But that trip, my mom and dad both went on, and I went. My dad stayed, and me and my mom came back. My dad stayed there with you.
Okay.
Year. And my mom... For some reason, I came to her that night and I said, I have something to tell you. And she said, you're pregnant. She knew.
And how many weeks were you?
I had to have only been a few weeks along.
Okay.
Maybe 7 weeks, 8 weeks along.
Now, when you're 18 years old and you're pregnant, okay, do you start freaking out thinking, okay, my whole future's done with? Or are you excited about raising a child?
I don't remember being excited. I remember thinking, what did I do?
Okay.
I had very loving parents. I never for one second thought they were going to put me out on the street or any of those things. I know that every child is a gift from God.
Yeah.
I never questioned whether I would terminate the pregnancy or continue with it.
Okay.
I spoke to the father, and I said, you know, I'm going to have this baby either way.
Okay.
So either you're in or you're out.
Now you stayed together with him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. wasn't like that. And then you end up breaking up.
Yes.
Okay. And so, in a sense, breaking up with the father of Akela, right?
Mm-hmm.
Akela. That's a loss in itself. Because you have this idea, like, we can be a family. Akela can be raised with both her mother and father. And sometimes that can be a difficult situation in itself.
It was very difficult. And I think I stayed in the relationship for longer than I should have, because I wanted her to have what I had grown up with.
Okay.
It was, you know, my parents had a great marriage for 20 years,
yeah.
And I wanted her to have that. So I think I did stick it out for a longer period of time,
mm-hmm.
Hoping that would come to
right.
me. But with that situation, I prayed a lot.
Mm.
I remember praying to God just so that I wouldn't love him anymore, so that I could
move oh, really?
On.
Uh-huh.
And one morning I woke up and I just didn't love him anymore. And I was honestly able to just put it aside and move
wow.
on.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying there wasn't a long road to getting to that
right,
place,
right.
but it's definitely a prayer that I know God answered so specifically for me.
Oh, that's cool.
And you know, him and I wouldn't say we're friends, but we're definitely cordial. Our daughter's 22 years old.
22.
She just turned 22 at the end of November.
Oh my goodness.
And, you know, it's been a long road. It took a long road to get to be cordial,
right.
but I mean, we coexist and we could be friends.
Yeah.
We could
eventually.
Be friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then, so you broke up with him,
mm-hmm.
and your parents were helping raise the daughter. You went to college, right?
I was already in college.
You were
when
in
I got
college.
With her, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you graduated from
I
college.
Did. Took me 10 years.
But you did?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
So with your parents, they were so supportive and solid
mm-hmm.
with you in your relationship. But something happened in their relationship.
Right. Actually, when I was pregnant with Akela,
okay.
My mom left my dad.
Well, I didn't realize. I forgot about that. You were pregnant.
I was pregnant with
That's
Akela.
That's crazy.
I was actually pregnant with her.
Okay.
And found out that my mom was leaving.
Okay. So she left the house.
She did.
Okay. So now it's just you, your dad, and you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How does one handle this? Because your parents are like your solid foundation all through your life.
Mm-hmm.
And were you surprised?
I was shocked.
Okay, so you didn't know what was going on. They weren't like fighting like cats and dogs.
No,
dishes
never.
Were flying everywhere.
Never. And you could ask anybody that I went to high school with. They were so shocked. Everybody knew my parents, and they were just like, that can't be possible. And
okay.
So everybody was kind of feeling the same way I was
right,
feeling, like,
yeah.
what is happening?
No, I remember.
Right.
I remember your parents going, because
yeah.
we had a New Year's Eve party at your parents' house, and I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
No idea. And then when your dad told me,
right.
I was, like, shocked.
Mm-hmm. And so, pregnant, 18 at that time.
Oh my goodness.
Parents splitting up. I chose to stay with my dad. My
right.
mom left. A lot of people found that really strange that I wouldn't leave with my mom. But it just didn't seem like it would
yeah.
was the right thing to do.
But your relationship with your dad changed in a good way.
It did.
Tell me about that.
I got to know him in a way that I never knew him.
Okay.
I mean, we, you know, ate together.
Right.
We spent all this time together. You know, we were here in this house together.
Right.
Obviously, we were grieving together for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Which is also a balance because
right.
I loved my mom.
Right,
you know,
right.
my relationship with my mom didn't suffer much either.
Really?
I mean, it did,
okay.
but it didn't. There was never a time that the relationship halted.
Right.
I never pulled away from her. She never pulled away from me. I actually had my daughter on close to Thanksgiving that year.
Okay.
And my mom had already been gone from the house for a while, but my parents were both here cooking Thanksgiving. And I remember my older sister said to me, "Oh, you'd do anything to get mom and dad back into the same house." You know, that's it wasn't planned, but they were, we were all together, you know, at that time. So, and my parents never, even through my parents' whole divorce, to me, nothing. I never heard anything negative.
Really?
I know you and my dad had your relationship, and I'm sure that's where he directed most of how he was feeling.
Yeah, Fernando, let me tell you, Fernando and I, we went through divorces together, and so we, I would call us commiserating friends.
Yes, yes.
And I would come over to your house, and we would go for walks, and we would go, I think it's called the Royal Psycho.
Yeah.
Psycho. Whatever it is. It probably was psycho by the time we were walking down there. But it was good. Your dad and I had an outstanding friendship back then.
Right.
Because we commiserated together. We were shocked together. Right. And so Victor was part of that support system too.
Yes, he was away at school at that time. But
he was going to be a doctor.
He was finishing up.
Finishing up being a doctor. Yeah. So where was he in school?
Well, he was in his residency at the time that he got sick.
Okay. Now, this is where I think one of your biggest loss or your first big loss was, because he was only 29 years old. Just graduated.
Working in the ER at, I believe at that time it was UC. I'm not sure if it was UC Irvine or UC Riverside. He was working all the time, as residents do. And I got a call from him one day, and he said, "You know, I've been sick, and I have leukemia."
So when he did, he say it just like that?
He said, "I was sick. I thought that I had the flu."
Okay.
You know, I've been not sleeping. You know, sleeping in the on-call room at work because I'm, you know.
Right.
He's like, and I went into the doctor and I have leukemia, and it's not the, it's was, I believe, ALS. So it's a specific type of leukemia.
That's a painful one.
Specific type of leukemia that typically is childhood leukemia,
right.
But he was already, I think at that time he was 28.
Okay.
And he said, you know, it's basically, they're not sure what's happening. Like it's in my bone marrow. It's, you know, in these different places. So, that was a huge blow. But at that time it was very positive. It was like, oh, they can do this and they can do that and they can do this.
And then cause this is where your friendship really got close.
Well, we had been close throughout the years through high school. And then beyond high school, he was Akela's godfather.
Okay.
She had asked him to be her godfather, and he stepped in so many ways when her dad wasn't around.
Right.
He would come here, take her shopping, do things with her. So he was her
How old was she then?
She was, let's see, 2005. I don't know, I'm not good at math. She was
1993, 2005, 44. I have no idea. Whoever's listening,
do the math. She was little.
She was young.
she remembers
it.
Oh, she totally remembers.
Okay,
it. Yeah, she totally remembers.
She totally remembers it. And then he ended up in the City of Hope.
He did.
That's where I got the phone call.
Yes.
To come visit him, and
came from a Buddhist family.
Yes, and the thing is, what was interesting when I went to visit him, I couldn't recognize him.
Right.
And because the leukemia was just all over his body. As seeing somebody grow up in high school together and you're seeing somebody that obviously is passing away, did you ever get frustrated with God? Like, come on, God.
I remember how my prayers changed in that time. I remember in the beginning I had this, Lord, heal him, Lord, heal him, Lord, heal him. Because what happened was he was in remission and then he got pneumonia.
Okay.
And then he got the pneumonia and they tried to put him in an induced a coma so that they could heal, his body could heal. And then they were never able to pull him out of back out of the coma. And so inevitably he passed away.
Right.
But during that time, I remember which I think it was like a month span. It's hard to remember now, but going back and forth to the hospital consistently, praying, Lord, heal him, Lord, heal him, Lord, heal him. And then I got to a point where it was, okay, Lord, like, I know now that he's been exposed to too much brain damage, too much, all these things. Lord, just please take him. You know, but you're praying that prayer thinking that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And it did. Okay. I was there when he passed.
Well, you were in the room.
I was in the room when he passed. His brother had called me. His brother Melvin called me and said, you know, he's not doing well. You should come.
Yeah.
And I came. And then I remember the joke was when I got there, all of a sudden his vitals looked really good. Me and his girlfriend were there, and his mom, his parents and everything. And they said, oh, of course you get here. And he's happy, you know.
That probably means a lot, didn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And by midnight that night, he passed. I do remember, I think for probably the first time in my life, I was really angry at God.
That right then?
Not at that moment, but I remember in the days after,
right.
I remember talking to my mom on the phone and just being like,
of course,
29 years old.
Yeah.
Like, we were supposed to make it to our 30th birthday together.
Yeah.
Like, this is my friend for life, and we're not going to turn 30 together.
And,
like, this is
the godfather to
godfather to, yeah, my daughter, and just somebody that's been, you know, somebody that my husband and him got along so well, you know, and just all these things. And it was just like, I couldn't understand.
Okay.
I couldn't understand. And that was probably the first time I really struggled with being angry at God. Like, why him of all the people in the world? You know?
Yeah. Cause I used to think that too. Pick a mass murderer. Give them, you know, just move it. I
here he was. He was a doctor. He helped everybody. He was good to everybody.
Right.
I mean, there, I couldn't speak of a person. People used to always say to me, I don't understand. Like, how come you guys, like, why is it just a friendship? It just was. It just was what it was.
And it worked.
And it worked that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was.
Well, it's like Michelle and I.
Right.
You know, that. We went through divorces together.
Mm-hmm.
We actually went to dating groups together and hung around together. Never got together because it was just really weird.
Right.
And so
yeah, I mean, it was just a devastating loss at that time. And first time I really just struggled with being angry at God.
Yeah. So then you got married after that?
I did get married after that. Okay. Married in 2007.
You married? I know.
You married?
I performed the wedding.
You performed the wedding, yes. You were there.
And so I was in 2006.
2007.
So it's 9 years.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you're listening to the podcast, she got married in the weirdest place. Most people, church, the beach, mountains. But this is the only time I did this wedding. Tell us where the wedding was.
A Church of the Recessional at Glendale Forest Lawn.
Okay. So she got married in a cemetery.
Yes. Yes.
Well, no, I'm just curious. We haven't talked about that. Why did you choose there to get married?
I thought it was beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Very beautiful. Green all the time. But
very beautiful garden.
My husband, or at that time, fiance, Ray and I we had been in different churches in different places and we could never really decide. And when we walked, actually my boss, Paul, he got married in that place.
Okay.
He told me you should check out these places. We walked in and we were just like, this is it.
Okay.
And also we have plots at that place. So married and buried.
Buried and buried. That's funny.
So
you got married and then and your dad was just precious walking you down the aisle. I love that. And joking with your dad was fun. And I think we rang a bell.
We did ring a bell there. Yes.
That when you pronounce, you ring this bell or
something. And then the rose petals drop from the ceiling.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
Yes,
now,
yes, yes.
See, now I remember.
Yes.
It takes time.
Yes.
I'm getting old. But anyway, so you got married 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decide, okay, we're going to have a child together.
Mm-hmm.
And so did you get, I don't know, you waited a few years.
We waited
a
year.
Okay.
And then we got pregnant.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was she's precious.
Right. That's Nyla. She's 7.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's a jewel. And so therefore your dad ended up getting married too. When did your dad get married? Did your dad got married, I think, around 1999, 2000?
Yes. Okay, two years. Kayla was 4.
Because I remember your dad and I were getting married close to the same time.
Kayla was four years old. So that would make it 98.
Okay. 98? 98, 99. Because I remember your dad asked me if I could do the wedding, but it was in Laughlin, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I couldn't get away.
So yes, my dad was remarried at that point.
Okay, so your dad found his true love, found happiness. That was I was excited for him, and then I ended up getting married in 2000, March 25th.
Mm-hmm.
So through that, you were saying 2005, which is only 6 years ago, you've had 14 losses. Now, let's talk about the most precious one. Your dad was diagnosed with
Alzheimer's. In 2009, the year my daughter Nyla was born.
Because this is where Summer and I think we began to commiserate. It was so interesting that your dad and I commiserated about divorces. But your dad in 2009, my mom in 2009, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's too.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, it is tough.
Yes.
And so when you found out your dad had dementia, now you've gone through all this loss, okay?
Right.
For your boyfriend you never married, your parents getting a divorce, you just lost Victor, which was the closest friend in the world. Now your stable father, you know, that's just the love of your life.
Because
every time I talk to you, you always had a twinkle and still do every time you talk about your dad. So when he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, what was going through you? I mean, you've gone through all this loss.
My first thought was no. No,
this is wrong.
This is not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, my dad had lost his younger brother to Alzheimer's also, and my grandfather. So even though in my head I was no,
I could understand.
And actually the day my dad told me in a very casual and nonchalant kind of way, which he usually did because, you know, he didn't want me to worry ever about anything.
Right.
His concern was more for me and for my brothers, you know, that we wouldn't get this disease.
Right.
And I just tried to reassure him. I'm like, Dad, if that was to happen, it's going to be a long time from now. And hopefully they will have made some strides in this disease by that time. But it was the beginning of a journey.
How do you explain that journey? Because I don't know how to explain it.
It's,
this is what I think, because I know you're getting emotional, that I think this is a journey that you cannot grieve because it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no way to be healed from it, or there's no way to move forward, because they're there, but they're not there.
Right.
And so you just have to accept it.
Yeah, and the disease itself is just, the only way I can describe it is just so interesting.
Yeah.
Because they can't tell you this is what's going to happen.
Right.
That's the thing that boggles my mind about it. Because you can go on Google and see what are the 10 stages and what's going to happen. Well, they say the life expectancy is 10 years. Well, my dad didn't last 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, my dad didn't go through all the stages of the disease. My dad still at the time that he passed, you know, the time I had seen him before he passed or went into a coma, I guess they say, he still recognized me. He still
did he really?
I mean, he didn't know me by name.
Right.
But he knew me. It was obvious that he knew me and he could still talk to me.
Right.
And I would, you know, we could still have a conversation.
Yeah.
So you look at my experience and your experience, and it's the same disease.
Right.
Where if you look at somebody who has pancreatic cancer and another person who has pancreatic cancer, their journeys are typically the same.
Right.
Where Alzheimer's is not that way.
No, you're absolutely right, because my mother is what we call stage 7.
Right.
Which is a vegetation state.
Right.
Yeah. And it's fascinating where they forget to walk. And then when they don't walk, they don't know how to walk.
Right.
So my mother is constantly in a wheelchair. And seeing her is tough. And the thing is, this is one thing that you understand that many people don't. My biggest fear is getting dementia.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You know, and then you got people say, oh, no, it's not, you're not going to get it. I go, how would they know?
Nobody knows.
No. And I think if I think about it a lot, it could ruin my entire day.
Right. Right. I've been there.
And will be there. Yeah.
Yeah. And will be there. Yeah.
It's horrible. So your dad remembered you till he passed, right?
He knew who I was. You could definitely see a demeanor shift in him when I would come into the room.
Okay.
Yeah, he did. And his passing was very sudden. There was really no lead up. Something just switched mm-hmm. in him. And he ended up being put on hospice. And
how long was he on hospice?
Well, he had been on hospice to the extent okay. of them coming in and helping
right.
my stepmom with, you know, taking care of him. But it was pretty much 10 days where he was unresponsive, not eating, not walking.
Okay.
Any of that stuff. So I lost him within a matter of 10 days.
And were you in the room? You were heading there, weren't you?
I was on my way.
You were.
Or I think he had already passed, but my stepmother called me and said, you need to come. And by the time I got there, he was gone.
Okay.
I think he may have already been gone. She just didn't want to panic me and have me come that way. But I knew he was passing.
Mm.
I knew in that 10 days. I mean, once you have hospice coming in, you know, administering morphine. And I just remember how many conversations I had with you in that time.
Yeah.
And, you know, my biggest thing is, what do you say to somebody who has done everything? Who's your world?
Yeah.
What do you say? I love you, Dad.
Yeah.
Thanks for everything you did.
Yeah.
That's all I could say. And I also at that time told him I was pregnant with his grandchild
okay.
because I had never had a chance to tell him. I was just pregnant. I was just a few.
Oh, so you didn't get to tell him.
I didn't get to tell him.
Okay.
I told him. I pray he heard.
Yeah.
But I told him why he was already pretty much, you know.
Because he loved your kids.
Oh my gosh.
He was just the
best
grandfather.
He was the best grandfather, and he supported, Akela to Akela, he's a father.
Yeah.
He was there from the time she was 6 weeks old. He was watching her when I was going to school at night.
Right.
And he is the reason, that I finished my education.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't going to let me stop.
No, because I remember he would watch Akela.
He would come
time.
Here, pick her up from school, take her to his house in City Terrace, and I'd pick her up after or she'd stay over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, he worked full time and would watch a baby at night.
Yeah.
You know, so that I
could. Because I remember I got the phone call at staff and it said Summer. And I went, oh, crap. I knew something happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Ray, your husband, that, you know, used your phone. And during staff meeting, I just go, oh, my goodness, something happened.
Right.
And so you asked me to do the service. Thank you very much, because I'm emotionally drained. And then you say, oh, by the way, say something uplifting to people.
You're awesome. You're always awesome. That's why I asked you to do it.
But anyway, the service was, my message was focused on lessons I learned from Fernando.
Yes.
And so during this, so I, as we wind this up, I wanted to ask you a couple questions. You, since 2005, 14 people, a loss of one of your best friends, Victor.
More than one best friend. I've lost very close friends.
Okay.
Very, very close friends.
Okay. So there's two ways of reacting this way. You can say, forget praying. It's a waste of time. You know, God's going to do what he's going to do. Or you can just say, you know what? I'm just done with feeling because caring and loving is too, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I know those two things don't work for you.
No.
And so if someone's listening that they say, look, Christmas is a week and a half. And I know that you've been having dreams of your dad. And for me, I've been having dreams of my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish it were dreams of her when she, before she was sick. But my dreams are focused on her getting dementia. And me knowing what's going to happen so that I wake up just depressed as I'll get out. But you actually had some really powerful dreams of your dad, which
restored.
So tell us about the dreams that you had.
I've just had a couple dreams. I mean, one dream, he just came to me. I don't know. You say a dream. It's hard to believe it's a dream when it's that person.
A vision.
Of him just coming to me and telling me he was okay. And I remember saying, Dad, how did you get here?
Uh-huh.
You know, you can't drive. You're not supposed to be driving. He's like, I didn't drive. You know, I walked here, but he.
So you can remember the details of it.
Oh, details. Okay. I can remember what he was wearing, what he's wearing.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
So it wasn't just like a dream.
No, it wasn't. And I walked with him and I talked with him. I can remember how blue the sky was. I can remember just saying, why did you go? Like, why did you have to go? And him saying, you know, I it was just that time for me to go and you're going to be okay.
Okay.
You're going to be okay. And the end of that dream was him just walking up us. We were walking up a pathway and he just kept walking into the light.
Wow.
So.
And did you wake up then?
I did, in tears, bawling and bawling because I.
Did you want to go to sleep?
Exactly. Yeah. I wanted to see him again. I haven't dreamt about him lately.
Okay.
But my baby girl, her middle name is Fern. She's named after him.
Which I just met today.
Which, yes. She's beautiful. She'll be 6 months tomorrow. Yeah. And that was hard, having her and not having him. He was there when both of my other girls were born.
Yeah.
So even going into labor, I was like, how am I going to do this without my dad?
Oh, yeah.
You know? But, you know, she happened to be born.
Mm.
On what would have been my parents' 42nd wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, God still got my back, you know, in a lot of ways. I just thought that was just, my dad passed on my wedding anniversary. And then, so there's these little things that just tie him into every part of my life.
Right.
And, you know, the hope. My only hope is in Jesus Christ.
Right.
My only hope is that I will see him again one day and he's restored. That's all that I've hung on to. I used to pray when he had Alzheimer's, I used to pray. God had given me, you know, a prayer to pray for his healing. And I did that for a long time.
Right.
And I had to believe God was big enough to do that.
Yeah.
But then it was like, if that doesn't happen, I have the hope that I will be with him one day, that he's restored.
Right.
And some days that doesn't help. You know, some days it's I have to say it out loud and convince myself. And other days, that's what I cling to, you know, every moment.
Yeah. And obviously, because you go on Facebook a lot too, and you always use your Facebook as, I miss my dad. And you put pictures of your dad, and you even say, today is a hard day.
Yeah.
It's a rough day. So a lot of us have to understand, even being a Christian and knowing that we will see Fernando again,
right.
We will see Victor again, it doesn't necessarily make it easy.
Yeah, I remember one day I was in my bedroom, and I was just falling apart. I was by myself, and I told my husband, I have to. And it was about my dad. It was the time I had gone to see him, and I was just processing. And I text a few of the ladies from church and Nellie Fenwick.
She's a sweetheart.
You know, she texts me back and she's like, you know, it's okay.
Because
Jesus wept too.
Yeah.
So don't think you're weak for being there, falling apart in that moment. Some moments you're just going
to it's true.
Crash, you know. And I have a lot of those moments. I still do.
Yeah.
But the joy does come back.
Yeah.
There was a song I clung to when my dad was sick, Broken Hallelujah. I don't know if you've ever heard that song, but
Broken Hallelujah.
Broken Hallelujah, yeah. Okay. And it talks about our hallelujah being broken because we're in a broken place. And I posted the other day on Facebook, like, my hallelujah is a little less broken. Uh-huh. I can think of my dad and not lose it immediately. But my grief is different. I was pregnant when my dad died, so I kind of repressed a lot of it, I think. Right. So it comes up in waves in very different form for me. So sometimes I'm sure people look at my Facebook and think, man, this girl needs to get over it, you know? But at the same time, I'm in a process, and everybody's process.
And you
process
don't get over it. Then how do you get over your dad? Right. Or how do I get over my mom?
No, you don't. So. And you've called me days and said, so tell me, is it, you know, I don't know who has it easier right now. Like, we're both in a, I've lost my dad.
Right.
And you're still losing your mom.
Right.
So I know where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, and it's.
But it's encouragement to me to sit across from you, because we've known each other since 1989. And I don't look at you as a youth anymore. It's almost like a peer, an emotional peer, that I can look at someone and go, if she can make it, if she can do it, then I can get through this too. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think what's good about you is you make it, but you're not making it look easy either.
It's not easy.
It's not easy.
And I don't know. I ask God every day. I don't know what process you're taking me through.
Right.
Refiner's fire is very interesting. The refining fire. You know.
Okay.
I just pray every day that whatever the things that I've been through somehow help somebody else.
Right.
That I can give somebody some hope. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate this interview. And what's the name of that song?
Broken Hallelujah.
Broken Hallelujah. So we will play the Broken Hallelujah song in its entirety right after this podcast is over. So if it ministers to you and ministers to her, we just hope that this would be an encouragement to you, because we know the holidays can be a difficult time for a lot of us. So God bless you. And remember, every day is a gift from God. Use it wisely. God bless and Merry Christmas.
I can barely stand right now. Everything is crashing down. And I wonder where you are. Try to find the words to pray. I don't always know what to say, but you're the one.